said the OG.
Dirty birds, we set the tone. Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. As your Falcons are 13-2 after a 31-18 win over the Detroit Lions on Saturday night. Joining you again for the I think we'll be at the 16th, 17th week in a row. Myself, Jay Adams, Daniel Cox is here.
Yes.
And the mid-season edition, AJ the intern is also here.
Hello all.
Hasn't quite been with us for 17 weeks, but...
No, I haven't, but I wish I would, because we had some fun.
We have had some fun, and we're just going to keep it rolling.
Keep the good times rolling.
That's right. That's right. All right, so Falcons come off that big win in Detroit, and boy, you know, you capture that number one seed and home field advantage, and things feel kind of good this week. You know, you just kind of... You know, you go through those couple of weeks with the clinching scenarios, and it's like you're like hoping and praying and wishing and all that stuff. And now it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Although nobody's really relaxed, it still feels like
I'm pretty relaxed.
Well, you're pretty relaxed, but you know, it still feels like there's a lot to play for, and that's just the way Coach Smith has kind of gone through this week. Even though, look, there's not from the Falcons' point of view, there's. There really isn't, but he, you know, keeping the guys, I think, you know, mentally sharp this week is, you know, could go a long way, especially when you're talking about having that bye week next week.
Yeah, I think that's the main key is keeping them in the place that they've been mentally for the last 2 weeks to see them play the way they have. You know, I think that's really what this game is all about. The Falcons can beat Tampa. Tampa could easily beat the Falcons, and in that regard, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the one loss record, you want it to be as good as it can be, and 14-2 would be a really great finish. It would tie the franchise record for most wins in the regular season. But I think you just want to see a solid game out of everybody, like you have seen lately. I think that's really what this game is all about. And I think you're right, Jay. I think that the way that Coach Smith has kind of made it an important game, or you know, not allowed things to seep into the locker room or the players, and the players have discussed this game all week, and they haven't talked about it any other way than it being an important game. I think that Coach Smith has successfully kind of helped keep those guys engaged in a week where you know the game's outcome doesn't change anything for where they're headed.
Yeah, and you know, we really don't know here on Thursday if, you know, the team's going to, you know, play all its starters or some of its starters or rest some of it. You know, we don't know that. Head coach Mike Smith has continued to say, hey, we're going to play this game to win. We're preparing to win.
Mm-hmm.
He won't come out and unequivocally say, yeah, we're going to play our starters or we're not. But I think you can gather from his comments that, you know, it's probably a good chance that a good number of starters are going to play.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's, of course – a debate that we'll get into later here in the podcast, but mm-hmm. Certainly it behooves the Falcons from a mental side of things to kind of keep things at the same level and not take their foot off the gas, so to speak, in the preparation stages. Even if you prepare all week, excuse me, you prepare all week, and you get to Sunday and Smitty all of a sudden decides, hey, starters, get in your street clothes because you're not going to play. Yeah. I don't see that happening, but, I mean, just keeping that everything kind of status quo is, I think, an important thing when you're talking about the psyche of a team and kind of knowing what to expect and what they're going to be dealing with throughout a week. I think just keeping it normal and keeping it as routine as possible kind of goes a long way.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and
I mean, look at us. We do the podcast pretty much at the same time every week.
I was kind of thinking the exact same thing, you know?
Right?
Yeah. You know, we can talk about a game that, like we said, you know, doesn't have any outcome, like bearing on the outcomes or the, you know, where the Falcons are headed. But hey, we're still doing the podcast, man. We're still following the schedule.
That's right. Because we play to win.
And there's
too.
A lot. There's still good stuff to talk about too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pro Bowl,
like the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl voting came out yesterday, and the Falcons have three Count them up because it doesn't take long.
No.
Three Pro Bowlers this year. Matt Ryan, Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones. All three extremely deserving of the honors. And, you know, two of them we kind of had a good feeling about. You know, yeah. Matt Ryan had been in the top 10 in fan voting across the NFL. And Tony Gonzalez led the fan voting at his position in the NFC. And then Julio Jones kind of came out of nowhere, which was awesome to see that. But then, you know, there are a couple of guys who probably, man. You know.
I tweeted it last night as soon as the voting happened that, I cannot believe that Roddy White did not make the Pro Bowl.
I'm stunned.
And it's not because I like him, but he's just, the season Roddy White has had is truly outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, his numbers say what they say, and they're as good as, you know, they're comparable. You can stack them against any guy in the NFL, certainly in the NFC. It's just, I don't know. I can't explain it.
It's crazy. And to think that, like, you know, all right, if he's an alternate, and I don't know, I don't have a list of alternates, but if he's an alternate, even that is just a crazy way for him to get into the Pro Bowl. And I'm with you. I had to actually stay away from Twitter last night just because I was just like, I'm going to say something stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I just, you're around these guys all the time. And, you know, maybe we kind of live in a vacuum to a certain extent because, you know, we see these guys all the time. We're around them all the time. I know everything there is to know about this team, but, you know, when it comes to other teams out there, I know who we're playing. I know about team, but you know, from week to week, it changes, and I'm sure there, you know, everybody who, you know, most of the guys who made the Pro Bowl rosters deserve to be there. But,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, you certainly look at some of our guys, and you're like, wow, you know, Roddy White, Thomas Dekou, William
Justin
Moore,
Justin Blaylock,
Jonathan Babineau,
yeah,
Sean Weatherspoon. I mean, there, you just see some guys, and you're like, Sam Baker. I mean, geez, Sam Baker.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Todd McClure. I mean, like, all of these guys, you're just like, wow. And, you know, do we really live in that much of a vacuum, though? Do we live in that much of a bubble that – and I don't think we do. I think that you can make a case for any one of those guys.
Absolutely.
To be on the Pro Bowl roster.
Absolutely. John Abraham, you mentioned him.
Yeah.
Is – I don't know. The Pro Bowl is what it – I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it
and,
is.
And so many fans were, like, coming to my comfort last night saying,
yeah,
hey, you know, what, the Pro Bowl doesn't matter because, you know, the Falcons, we want to play in the Super Bowl. So, really, it's an irrelevant game.
It doesn't, but –
but it's still an honor, and that's what I didn't respond to a lot. But I know it means something to these guys to get an honor like that. You know, and that's recognition not just from the fans, but it's from the coaches and the players and their vote as well. So, you know, that goes a long way, and that says something, and that means something to those guys.
Yeah.
A guy like Thomas Dekou, I think, he certainly didn't say it today, and he was asked about it, but I there's probably some disappointment that he didn't get in, and he felt like he's had a good season.
Sure, and, you know, I think – in talking to some of these guys, and especially on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, this is just a, you know, another situation where they're just not getting the respect. And you know, this is a hungry team, spiteful almost. You know,
you're right.
It's like these guys want to shut up the critics so much in so many different areas, not just in a Pro Bowl or, you know, whatever. Just, you know, from playoffs to consistency to all the different things that we've heard. And we've heard a lot of different things for why this Falcons team is not legit.
Yeah, all right? It's been all season.
And this is just
the offseason.
Yeah, and this is just another one of those things. And this team has kind of gathered all those things up, you know. And they're carrying it with them.
That's an interesting point.
This is a team that really wants to shut some people up this year. And –
yeah.
I know the three of us in this room want that.
Oh, absolutely. It feels like this whole season has been about, let's just get through the season so we can get to the playoffs when Yeah. So we can show some people what this is all about.
Right. Because, I mean, clearly, you know, nobody, we can't prove a darn thing yeah. during the regular
Nobody's
season.
Nobody's going to listen to us. No,
so whatever. And, you know, it is what it is.
In some ways. Yeah.
It just is what it is. Yeah. I mean, I can't explain it. And it just, it's.
Well, three trips to the playoffs under Coach Smith with Matt Ryan, you know, three losses. I get it.
I get it. But then I don't understand why that's a reason why you discredit a team's entire season.
Yeah.
It's whatever. It is what it is. And, you know.
The Seahawks haven't won the Super Bowl.
Right.
They're getting a lot of love.
Tons of love. Tons of love.
I'm just saying.
But.
Nothing against the Seahawks.
No. I mean, I look. It is what it is. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I know. Well, but hey, congratulations to Matt. Congratulations to Julio. Congratulations to Tony. Tony said today downstairs in the locker room, he felt like this is probably of his 13 Pro Bowl recognitions. This was probably the one that meant the most to him because he felt like he was an older guy among some, you know, super young, you know, the Jimmy Grahams of the world and, you know, all these hot young tight ends. He felt like he was kind of sticking it to him, so to speak, to be kind of reference what we were saying earlier. He felt like that meant a lot to him to do it at this stage in his career. So,
yeah.
So kudos to Tony.
Huge accomplishment, and, you know, all of us are rooting for that that other 5% to,
oh man,
kind of carry over his.
We're not going to talk about
look,
that.
Hey,
but,
listen, hey. I will say, man, it has been such an honor watching that guy play.
Absolutely,
regardless of what he does,
yeah.
Next season and whatever decision that he decides to make, it's been unbelievable watching him play.
Yeah, it's been an honor. You're right, Jay. It's been. I'm truly thankful to have been able to watch a guy like that practice, a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. You don't get to see a lot of Hall of Famers necessarily. Like guys, you know, hey, Matt might go on to be a Hall of Famer, Roddy as well, but you don't get to see them necessarily when they're already locked it up.
Yeah,
you know? In their career, and they've already locked it up. Guys on that level, you don't get to see very often, so it's kind of.
You're right.
It's been pretty cool.
You're right. And hopefully we got a few more games left with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's get on to buy or sell, and we'll bring in AJ the intern, who's going to spin all the hits here, and then Daniel and I are going to fight to the death over each one of them.
A battle royale.
Yes, to the death.
To the cage match?
Well, I mean, we're in an office, so it's kind of like a cage
match. Who do you think would win that, though?
He's scrappy. I feel like he would fight a little dirty, too.
Absolutely. I mean, you know.
I think that you would.
There's
be,
a streak in me that people don't get to see.
That's what I keep saying. Like, you look in Daniel's eyes and you're like, there's a little bit of crazy in there.
Absolutely. I'm not going to deny that. So watch out.
All right. We'll go on. We'll go on to that first buy or sell topic, and we won't discuss this ever again.
All right. The Falcons should not play to win this Sunday. What do you think about that?
I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell that statement. Yeah. Not playing to win is a foreign subject to me.
Yeah,
I
agree, man.
I think that the Falcons in general would agree. And if we were to say this to Coach Smith, I think he would kind of laugh and kind of look over your shoulder, and there'd be a little bit of a glare. there's no, like, how do you not play to win? Coach Smith has already said it. And regardless of what players Coach Smith, in his brilliance, has said, you know, we're going to play to win, but he doesn't, you know, he hasn't explained necessarily how that's going to happen. So whoever's on the field is out there to win. But I think more importantly, I think it's safe to assume that, you know, there's going to be some starters that will be playing. I mean, there's going to be key players that will play in this game. We don't necessarily know how long they're going to play, but I feel like that momentum aspect, that, you know, what the Falcons have been looking for all season, you know, that momentum to kind of carry them into the playoffs is kind of here. And I think that's important, and I think they need to hang on to that. And I think playing to win is how they hang on to that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I am going to sell this topic, too. Again, I don't know what it means to not play to win. You know, I think that, like you said, the momentum. Because you're talking about 2 weeks here. And I can understand where this game, if you let it, okay, could get routine pretty quickly.
Yeah.
In a bad way. We talk all the time about how routines are good. We talked about it on this podcast.
Right,
how routines
right.
are good. But I think when you get to a point where, all right, you know that, hey, the pressure's off, we've kind of gotten where we want to go, it's easy to fall into that cycle of, okay, I don't have to be up for this game. You know, if I'm a starter, I don't have to be mentally in this game. And I think that's part of what Smitty's trying to do here with the psychological thing. Basically, tell all your starters, hey, you're gonna play. Come ready to play.
Yeah.
And you go through and maybe, you know, their game time decisions. Who knows? Who yeah. knows what he's going to end up doing? Or they play the whole game. And yeah. I see both sides. Look, you don't want, obviously don't want to have something freak happen where you get where you have an injury.
Right, but
to one of your important yeah. guys.
But that could happen in any
it
game.
It could happen in any game. Of course, I understand. Season. It could happen in practice. It could happen walking down the stairs. It could happen walking out to the parking lot. Like any of those things, crazy fluke things can happen.
Yes.
It's just a part of life. I see much more danger in going about this week, at least from the very start, saying, hey, starters, you're not going to play.
Yeah.
Or you're only going to play this long or that long, however. So right now, and we see it, the team is in that mindset of, hey, we're preparing to go into a game that we're trying to win. Yeah. And you could, I mean, if I didn't know any better, I'd say that there was still plenty on the line for this team.
Absolutely.
Because it feels that way.
Yeah.
So I think that's how you kind of take momentum and continue it on for what is really 2 weeks where there's just not a whole lot going on. But you got to stay at that level. You got to stay up.
Yeah.
As tough as an athlete.
And that's it kind of leads us into our next buy or sell, but that's kind of the importance of this game, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
That idea of momentum. So
yeah,
speaking of
absolutely.
Momentum.
Speaking of momentum, we wake up AJ the intern.
No, I wasn't asleep yet. Okay, the next one.
yet.
All right, the next question. The momentum the Falcons have been looking for, it has been found. What do you think about that? Buy or sell that one?
I sell it.
Okay.
And I'll go ahead and explain it.
Yeah, you. I'm all ears.
Okay. Listen. You know, momentum is a thing that carries from game to game to game into the postseason, perhaps. It looks like the Falcons have momentum. They've won two games convincingly lately here, and starting off with that 40-34 win over the Super Bowl champion New York Giants, and then last week in Detroit. But seeing is believing. I need to continue to see it. I need to see that momentum continue to be carried forward. Otherwise, I mean, they could come out and be flat on Sunday in Week 17, and your momentum heading into the playoffs could kind of be gone. So for me, that's kind of what's important about this game is coming out once again and putting a game together that that they feel good about and let that continue to carry you into the playoffs. So for me, you know, hey, there's some glimmer of momentum. I can buy that. But I don't know that that momentum that they're looking for to carry them into the playoffs is completely there yet. So we'll see on Sunday. So I'm kind of having to sell that statement.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and completely disagree with you. And I think that this is a team that does have momentum. It is the momentum that they've been looking for. And I think that this is a team that is going to continue to get hot and has gotten hot at the right time, I think. The Matt Ryan that you've seen in the last two games is the Matt Ryan that you're going to see on that second weekend of January. I think it's the same offense that you're going to see as far as explosion, as far as performance. Certainly not game planning because we don't know what that's going to look like yet. But I truly believe that this is a team that has been – you know, all the different parts are floating out there, and all of a sudden they just have all come together at the right time. And I think that, look, if you want to, you can point to, like, the third quarter against the Lions and the offense had only 17 yards in that quarter. However, this team found a way to win that game, found a way to hang on, and you're going to have ebbs and flows in a football game. I think that's just going to happen. I saw a lot of tweets during that third quarter that were like,
yeah,
just pale in comparison to how they were in the first
16
half.
16 points they allowed over the course of that game to the Lions offense.
Exactly. And
whatever
and
happened
this is,
in the third
this is,
quarter.
Right. And this is why I keep going back to I say, look, this scoring defense, say what you want. Hey, they give up 522 yards of offense. They gave up more than 200 yards of receiving to Calvin Johnson.
Yep.
Say what you want to about it. At the end of the day, the defense gave up 16 points.
Yeah.
16 points.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what's their average this year? The Falcons have been giving up
18.5
or 4 points per game. Good enough for fourth in the league, and I wrote about that last week. So this is a team I think they have the momentum, and it's been gaining for weeks, and I think you saw against Carolina what can happen, you know, when they kind of lose that. And I think that loss taught this team, hey, and I've heard it from other players, is that they have talked about that game and said, we can never let this happen again.
Yeah.
And then they come back and look how they've played the last 2 weeks.
No, you're right. You're right.
So for me, I think this is the momentum they've been looking for. I think it's going to continue to gain. I think the challenge is these 2 weeks. So I think you're right in that aspect, whereas this game is super important for those purposes. And then the bye week next week, of course, you've got to find a way to keep your guys up for that. But I think they are hitting their stride. They feel comfortable in the systems. We're really seeing that pay off. And I really think that this Falcons team that you saw 2 weeks ago against the Giants and that you saw last week against the Lions is the same team that you're going to see that first week in January. I truly believe that.
It's gonna be awesome if that team shows up.
They're gonna be there. Their tickets booked. They're ready.
Yeah, cool, man.
All right,
I can't wait.
Let's get on to the third topic here.
Okay, no playoff win or not. Matt Ryan is among the elite quarterbacks in the league. Buy or sell that one.
Well, you had an interesting. Why don't you start out because you had that story about?
On the conference call yesterday with Coach Schiano from Tampa. He flat out said that he felt Matt Ryan was an, quote, elite quarterback or something along those lines. He used the word elite in reference to Matt Ryan. And when we talk about elite quarterbacks in the NFL, we're talking about, you know, the Peyton Mannings, the Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, who would you put in that elite category?
Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You kind of have to start with those three guys. Yep. Tom Brady, I'm sorry, those four guys. How could I forget him?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you got to start.
I think this is just a part of a much bigger argument as far as elite quarterbacks, and we could devote a whole podcast to this subject because it's one of those that you've got so many differing opinions, and the people on each side feel just as passionate. Because does it come down to, and this is a serious question, because I don't know for you what it comes down to. Does it come down to playoff wins? Do you have to win a playoff game in order to be considered elite?
I mean, a playoff game?
Yeah. Do you have to win a playoff game in order to be considered elite? Because those other guys that you just mentioned have.
Yes. And, you know, you think about everybody.
They've gotten Super Bowls, too. So, I mean, that's the thing is, like, okay, what exactly defines what elite is?
So
for me, it's more like who can win games?
Okay.
Who's that guy that you want? Okay, when I think of elite, I'm thinking of, okay, I'm looking at all 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. Who would I pick to win games for me?
Okay.
I would choose Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan would be a pick. That I would make.
Yeah.
Okay. So, with that part of it, I totally think he's elite. Now, the other side of that argument is going to be he hasn't won a playoff game. He's won three in the playoffs, hasn't won a playoff game, and that's what really determines, you know, let's not even talk about Super Bowls yet because he hasn't even won a playoff game.
Right, right.
So, I understand that side of the argument. For me, this is a guy that wins games, though. He yeah. wins games. He's good at home. He's good on the road.
He's good in the fourth quarter.
He's great in the fourth quarter. Yeah. And, I mean, what more do you want out of your quarterback? If that's not elite, what is? I mean, he does everything that a quarterback's supposed to do well, with the exception of that one blemish on his resume, which is in the postseason.
Yeah.
And do you put more weight on that than you do the other games, the other 16 games that he plays during a regular season?
To get you to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To put you in that position in the first place.
Yeah.
This is a total chicken and egg thing. It really is. Because, oh, yeah. like I said, we could devote an entire podcast to this, and we could talk about it all day. And I don't know where I would end up at the end of it, if I would be on yeah. the other side of things. Or yeah. I don't know. But yeah. I think for a lot of people, him going and winning a playoff game is going to further his case for that.
Absolutely.
For me, he is. I will put it right now. I agree with Shiano. I think he's an elite quarterback.
Okay.
I do. But I think for a lot of people, it's going to be winning the playoffs, and then it's going to be that next step in order for him to be considered elite. And I think it's fair to make that argument.
Yeah.
Because I see it that I can see it both ways. But for me, just watching him, I can see this is a guy who makes his throws. This is a guy who steps up when the pressure's on. And this is a guy that every game you go into with him as your quarterback, I like your chances.
And he's a guy that's gotten better every season, you know.
That's
so,
the other thing.
And, you know, and he's on that Peyton Manning track. You know, Peyton Manning, through his first five seasons, had not won a playoff game either.
Exactly.
In fact, I think he was also 0-3. Yeah, so at what point did Peyton become elite?
Right. So I'm sorry I'm cutting you off here.
No, no.
But through his first five seasons, you just mentioned, and we were hearing the word elite with his name then.
Yeah, I mean, you hear that with Andrew Luck.
Right.
So, like, so many people thought he should have made the Pro Bowl this year.
Is the word being tossed around too much?
Yeah.
Is maybe that the debate? But like I said, you see, you're getting me off on this topic.
I like
now.
That topic, though. Is the word elite really necessary? I don't know. Should the word elite be used?
The word elite, I mean, it's an you're an exclusive company if you're elite. Okay. And you and I just named off like seven quarterbacks that we would consider elite. So where is that line drawn? What exactly makes an elite quarterback? What doesn't? So that's – nothing has really been defined. But the people who will argue against Matt Ryan being an elite quarterback are going to argue that he's never won a playoff game.
And that's really going to be their only argument.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's
– Exactly.
If that's the best you can come up with, that's
then I think he's elite.
Yeah. Like, I just looked up the definition just to see what it said.
Oh, we're going to Webster's right now?
Yeah. And, you know, it's got a number of different definitions. Persons of the highest class, the choice or best of anything considered collectively as a group or class of persons, a group of persons exercising the major share of authority or influence within a larger group. That's a really good definition for a quarterback.
Sure.
You know, is Matt one of those guys that you compare other quarterbacks get compared to, you know? And at what point, like Andrew Luck gets compared to Peyton Manning for various reasons, mm-hmm. you know, certain aspects. Like, could Russell Wilson be compared to Matt Ryan and his come from behind abilities, fourth quarter ability? You know, and you don't hear a lot of guys get compared to Matt, and I think it's only because he's in five years in. But when you start thinking about some of the things that he's accomplished outside of that playoff, Ofer.
See, and that's the thing that's so unfair to me about it is how much he has accomplished here in his 5 years here.
Yeah.
And all anybody wants to talk about is the playoffs, just on a national level. That's not what they were talking about with Peyton Manning when he was going through those times where he didn't win a playoff game. So
it was always about when is Peyton
For him, it's when is he going to get over the hump. It's for Matt, it's
elite because he hasn't done it.
Right. So you see the difference in the conversation?
Yeah, totally.
So look, this is something that could go on and on and on and on and on. And for the sake of time,
yes,
I think this is one I'm just going to say I think he's elite. I don't know that you can put that stamp on him across the board, that consensus. Everybody's got a consensus that he is elite or that he's not elite. I think that's one of the things you got to sit on the fence on. But I think he's an elite quarterback, and I'll defend that.
If you're saying elite is your top five, Matt Ryan's elite. He's in my top five in the league.
And there you go. There we have it.
All right.
All right. Let's move on to our Twitter keys to victory. We got off on a little bit of a tangent. So if you're still with us, God bless you. So going on to Twitter keys to victory, we solicited your keys for Sunday's game and what it would take for the Falcons to win. And, of course, we were very tenacious about going about getting those keys. You don't sound very tenacious at all. The keys.
Okay. All right. The first one is from at Glissel Fast Start Momentum. The second one is Scar 988. Stuff the Duggar Knot like they did in the first game. And the last one comes from our good old friend Falcons D Cox. Keep Matt Ryan clean.
Oh, well, geez, I wonder which one's going to be your number one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll like we do every week, we'll start off with number three and go to two and then to one. And tough.
Yeah.
Tough.
As it is.
I'm going to say number three. Number three for me is going to be Stuff the Duggar Knot. Stuff Doug Martin. The muscle hamster.
Muscle hamster.
Because there are other ways that Tampa Bay can hurt you through the air. Vincent Jackson being one of the several ways. I'm getting some size over here.
And swear I could have heard AJ yawn just now.
No,
you're not speaking in the microphone.
All right.
Let me defend myself. First off, I was looking at, you know, these keys to victory, and they are tough. I was trying to rank them in my head as well, and I see what y'all go through. This is
it's not easy.
It's not easy. It's really not easy. So y'all do have a tough one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say that's number three for me, Doug Martin. I think it's, of course, important to stop him, and they certainly need to, but I think there are other ways that Tampa Bay can hurt you. So by some weird little twisty, curvy thing, I'm able to put that at number three for me because I just think that, you know, Vincent Jackson can hurt you too. So stopping one part of their offense doesn't mean that you shut all of them down. So that's for me.
Yeah, you know, I can agree with that, Jay. Certainly, if you can stop Doug Martin, you slow down the offense. And the Falcons saw that last time when they held him to,
50 yards.
50 yards. That's what I thought I was reading. 50 yards, and it was still a one-point win. So, you know, I think you're right. You know, Vincent Jackson can do a lot of things. Josh Freeman's had an up-and-down season. They can do a number of different things to you on offense. So, if I'm ranking these three, I'm going to say stopping Doug Martin is the third of three important, you know, keys to victory. But I wouldn't say it's going to be the most important thing. I think one of the things I think we've seen, at least I have, as we go through this exercise every week, is we begin to talk less about the opponent and more about what the Falcons can do. And I think that's kind of how they've approached this season as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, if you take care of yourself, everything else is going to fall into place.
Absolutely. Be very selfish.
Just like in life, right?
Yes, be very selfish.
Be very selfish. All right, number two for me is going to be the fast start and momentum. I think we've already talked about momentum, but you want to keep that momentum going if you're talking about from a season, from a game-to-game standpoint. A fast start is definitely going to help you. We talked about how important it is for this team to start fast, and they started fast last week. They started fast against the Giants. I think it's very important that they start fast. However, I have a reason for my number one, and I'll save it for that. But go ahead with your number two. But for
my number two is the exact same one. You're right. You know, the Falcons have shown how well they play when they hit the ground running, so to speak. You know, they come out quickly. They get a good lead. And the team just feeds off of that. The defense, I think, feeds off of when the offense moves the ball efficiently. You know, and the offense certainly feeds off the defense when they get a turnover. And these are all aspects of a fast start, and we've seen all these different aspects happen in the last couple of games. Fast start for an individual game, absolutely. You know, every week I think that's going to be a key to victory. I'm confident that's a non-negotiable that, as Coach Smith likes to say, for when they enter into a game.
Yep. All right. So number one, and I'm just going to put this out here.
Okay.
For the rest of time.
I gotcha. Which
is a long time.
Yes.
Okay. The number one most important thing that the Falcons can do is let Matt Ryan do what he does.
Let him be elite.
Let him be elite. Number one key for this game, the next game, the next game, and so on and so on and so on. And I've really seen that over the last 2 weeks. How important it is to keep him clean, keep people out of his face, keep him from having to look over his shoulder. Because the offensive line has done an amazing job at protecting him the last two games, and we've seen what happens. All right, and this goes back to that whole, you know, they were looking for that momentum and they found it kind of thing. And I think they found it because they've allowed Matt Ryan to do what he does best, and that's to stand back there and make good decisions, find his weapons, even when one of them is taken away from him. Tony Gonzalez was completely taken away from him. One of his top third down targets taken away from him, and yet Matt is still able to find ways to make first downs and to keep the ball moving, and I think that is a huge product of him being protected really well.
Yeah.
And everything in this offense runs off of Matt Ryan. That's just how it is, and it's like that for a lot of different teams with their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, number one key from here on out is keeping him clean. And if I love our chances. If we keep him upright and we give him 4, 5, 6 seconds to throw the ball every single time, I'd be hard-pressed to find a team that can beat us. I just feel that way. This is a good quarterback who needs his time to throw, and this is the number one key for me.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. And I think you're right. I think when I was thinking about this earlier, I was prepared to say the same thing. You know, we've seen now in the last 2 weeks, especially when the protection for Matt is really good, the Falcons' offense is really tough to stop. What's so great about what happened in Detroit is, you know, Matt was sacked one time. Mm-hmm. I just went back and looked. He was pressured or hurried or hit 9 times. What that tells me is,
and he dropped back 32.
Yeah. But even though he was experiencing some pressure, he was still able. You know, pressure can be, you know, oh, AJ got to me, you know, a second too late. Mm-hmm. You know, he's coming, you know, but he didn't get to me. You know, and I still get the pass off, and it's still completed. So that's, you know, Matt still got the amount of time he needs to do what he needs to do. You know, the Falcons go as far as, you know, Matt, you know, and his protection. And so far right now, that protection is very strong. So, you know, keep it up.
Yeah.
Sam Baker, Justin Blaylock, Todd McClure, Tyson Claypool, and the rookie, Peter Kahns.
Yeah. Who's,
you know, come in and done a nice job.
Quite a challenge with Ndamukong
Suh. Oh, man. You know, and Sue got the best of him a couple of times. But,
yeah.
Hey, you know.
That's how you learn.
Yeah, absolutely. He's still a rookie. Learn. He was at Wisconsin last year.
Yeah, I mean, the ceiling on this kid is just amazing.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, there's our keys to victory. If the Falcons can do those things, we guarantee they will win the game. Is that right or not?
I guarantee. I second that. No.
All right, AJ guarantees that they win the game. They do those three things. All right, so we're going to get on to our impact player, and we're going to be reminded of how we picked last week in our impact player segment, and AJ is going to take us through that right now.
All right, Jay, you had Julio Jones, you know, 71 yards and one touchdown.
Yep.
You want to say anything about that? Good.
I think I won this week out of the three of us. That's just me.
Okay. Daniel, you had Tony G, one catch for 9 yards. What do you feel about that?
Tony was taking up a lot of coverage from the defense.
I'm
just saying.
Don't regret your pick.
No, I have no regrets.
I'd pick Tony Gonzalez any day of the week.
Yeah.
They had it.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said.
He was clearly the guy that Detroit felt they needed to take away number one.
Yeah. And what have we heard out of those guys all year?
Your poison.
Pick your poison.
I love it.
And your poison this past week was Roddy White.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was your poison.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, yes. I like your pick. I still think I won, though.
And I chose Thomas Dekou.
He had a great game. Great game.
I mean, you know, six tackles. I mean, what more can you ask for? So this week, who would like to go first? I say JJ.
I will go first.
Yeah, so I won't take nobody's pick this week.
Yeah, and I'm not letting you. I stopped last week to let you take your pick, and you still took my pick. So, all right, for me, I'm going to put it out there. My pick be the impact player of the game, Michael Turner. And I will tell you why. Remember last year, week 17, came in. Falcons had a bunch of records that they could break. Still very much on the line against Tampa Bay. Turner came out, rushed for 172 yards, lit the field on fire. I think he's due for that kind of game. I like Tampa's run defense. I think they do a good job of stopping the run. However, the teams in this position can take two outlooks to a game. They're either ready for week 18, which puts them on the golf course, or they want to disrupt what's going on with whatever opponent they've got left that may be headed on to the playoffs. And who knows what mind frame that Tampa Bay is in right now. But I just see this as, okay, Turner can get some touches. Maybe he can break a couple big ones that he hasn't been able to break this year. And we've seen him break a couple. But last year, would he break a 80-yard or 79-yard or something like that in this game against Tampa? I mean, who knows what could happen, but I could see him taking over the offense this week. That's just me. I'll put it out there.
I think I'm going to go second. And I was leaning toward running backs as well, just because, you know, their defensive line is led by Bennett. And mistake me if I'm wrong, I think he has maybe like 26 or some odd tackles for the season. But if you look at the last game, Jaquizz Rodgers had a big game too off the screen pass. He had one for like, I think it was like 30 plus yards. And I think being that the defensive line causes so much pressure, even though we have a good offensive line, I think that brings open the screen pass. And I say Jaquizz Rodgers might do it off of that.
And that's the thing is we've seen where the screen game and the draw game has really come into play here for the Falcons in recent weeks. And it's tough for defenses to defend against that. So I can get behind that pick.
So does that mean I have to pick Jason Snelling?
Antoine Smith. Who actually, by the way, I would love to see him get like 15 carries in this game.
That would be so awesome.
That would be amazing. I love that kid. Yeah, he's got so much talent.
I'll never forget when it was two seasons ago, I think it was, in the preseason. And he's still one of those
Friday Night Lights.
Huh?
Do you remember that Friday Night Lights performance that he had 2 years ago?
No, I don't remember that.
He went nuts.
But it was the last game of the preseason. So it was like all the fourth or third stringer guys and some of the fringe guys, they got a lot of playing time, and he went off that night and basically like assured himself a roster spot, and he was somewhat emotional in the locker room afterwards. Yeah. It was pretty cool, but I'd love to see Antoine Smith get 15 carries. That would be fantastic. I think he would surprise some people, quite frankly. Okay, my pick. I'm going to go on the defense. I'm going to go with the defensive side of the ball. We'll flip things up here. I'm going to say Corey Bierman.
Good pick. Solid pick.
Bucks giving up 26 sacks, same number as the Falcons offensive line. I think they're going to try to take away Abe, obviously. Bierman's been playing really well lately. He's kind of starting to get into a little zone, I think, and he's doing some really, really good things. And, this might be one of those games where you know, he's going to get after like a somewhat mobile, a bigger guy, a bigger quarterback in Josh Freeman, and I think he's going to do some damage. So that's my pick this week.
I like it, and you can go back to last week's. I think it was last week's podcast where I sung the praises of Croy Bierman. And
yeah,
like fact, I like yeah, I said, if you've did. If you're a father and you've got a young kid who wants to play football, point at Croy Bierman, tell him that's how you play the game of football. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll say it a million times. I love the way he plays.
Yes.
All right. Well, there's another successful. Well, some was it a success?
It feels successful.
Feels successful. So yeah. We'll call it a success. Yeah. Another successful podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Thank you for joining us, and we will catch you next week as we go into the bye week, and Lord knows what we'll talk about.
Yeah. Well, Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh yeah, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Yeah. We keep missing
fresh start. Yeah. Resolutions, all that stuff, and
hey, maybe next week we can talk about some of our resolutions.
Okay, absolutely.
That would be fun.
Maybe we'll, yeah, okay.
We can talk about our New Year's resolutions.
Sounds good, man. Sounds
and then
good.
We could come up with resolutions for each other, kind of like Festivus,
yeah,
with the airing of grievances. Okay. I got a lot of problems with you people, and now you're going to hear about
nice.
It.
Nice. Okay. Maybe we do hey, something so this, like that. Okay. It's a who safe knows? Environment, right?
Safe environment. There's okay. a judgment-free zone on the podcast. Okay. I'm all here right, on the Falcon right. cast. Judgment-free zone. So maybe we'll have something fun planned for you guys next week.
You ready for this, AJ?
I'm always ready.
Yeah. All right.
I'm ready.
All right. Let's do it. All right. So we will talk to you next week for another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll talk to you then.